Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Hello, this is episode number 65 of Wrinkled Not Dead. Welcome, and I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
Terrific. Nice to have you with us today. If it's your first-time listener, that's fantastic. If you've been with us for a long time, we really appreciate it. Episode 65 is available, like all the other prior episodes, on wrinklednotdead.com or on iTunes. And we'd love to have comments.
And if you can share with your friends, tell them to just check us out. That's the only way we can grow and continue to bring you free and interesting information.
And we do want the comments because we've got some great feedback lately and pointing us in a great direction. So we've been married for almost 34 years now.
I know.
Yes. And we do radio and TV and writing and narration and live presentations through Michael Bell Productions. It's been in business since before the
1989 and before that you were doing stuff in radio
know,
and TV. So
yeah.
If you can see it or hear it, we do it.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. So the program today, we have an interview, so we want to kind of keep this nice and tight and moving along because we have a tremendous interview coming up. This is about perseverance. Tell us a little bit.
Well, they say that perseverance is stubbornness with a purpose. Josh Shipp. I like that.
I do. It's short, it's sweet, and perfect.
So we're going to talk about that.
You
but before
betcha.
That...
Rose and thorn. Okay, I have so many roses, I can't... I turned 66 this past week, and which is fantastic. You know,
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Well, interesting, because we've been on social media very intensely over the last year and more, I got birthday greetings on no less than 8 different platforms, including USPS.
Yeah.
Good grief. Somebody actually sent a card in the mail.
Our dear sister-in-law, Cindy.
I know.
Thank you, Cindy.
I know. And on the phone. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing. It's just overwhelming. And it's a gift to everyone out there. When you have a birthday and you get so many people who will take just an instant to send you a little note like that, because it's so easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just continue to do that. It sends love all around the world, and it's a wonderful thing. Many other roses. Okay, I'll go through them as a list. We got a great gift. It was unexpected this week. It was from Sport Tea, which we drink. It's a phenomenal, refreshing iced drink that we make ourselves. It's non-caffeinated and everything. It's on the blog. So take a look at check it out because it was wonderful to get the gift from the people who make it. And we were very honored to do that. And also, remember last week? If you do, then thank you for listening to last week. But I made, because we had this abundance of tomatoes, a tomato soup. And it came out great. I mean, it was so simple. I had the juicer out, which, of course, everybody's got one hidden in the garage somewhere. But I used the juicer, and I made a very, very, very simple soup and refrigerated it. So it was basically nothing except pureed and strained tomatoes with some mint and some dill. And you have to say, it was good, right?
It was very good. It was cold, which
I
loved because it's really hot right now. It's
in
the 80s in Southern California.
Okay.
So those were some good roses. And just for those who don't know, what are they talking about? Rose is when something good happens during the week, and a thorn is when something bad happens. But from that thorn, something good comes out of that.
So my thorn
is that?
We've been trying for ages to get a walk on the beach. We live in San Diego, California. For heaven's sakes. It shouldn't be so hard, but the beaches are crowded and there's hard to find a place to park. And when you do, they charge you on the weekend $15.
Too much.
It's too much.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Well, and what's good about going on the beach here, or if you can go for a walk anywhere, it kind of just clears your mind. And we kind of set the week, even if it's in the middle of the week, we set the remainder of the week on what we're going to do at work.
Yeah,
so it's kind of a good one.
On the beach.
Yeah, it's a very good one. So I'm going to start with my thorn.
Oh.
The thorn that I'm finding is really hard is how long it takes for companies to make decisions to go ahead and do business and all of that, not just with us, but in many aspects. Back in the old days, it would take a couple of days. Okay, let's do it. Let's go. And now
people
it seems to take
seem
longer.
To be more adventurous back then.
They kind of do. I guess you have to be more cautious now and money's tighter. And so I understand it. It's just when you have a product or something that you want to go out there and share, it's hard to have the restraint. However, that's what we're going to talk about is the perseverance to stand strong and wait for people to say, okay, we're ready to do something with you. You know, it's just it's a difficult one. But however, the fun, my rose, was we never do this. We were out doing errands. We were picking up photographs that we needed for a job that we were doing, a bunch of other stuff. And we looked up and we saw that there was a movie that we wanted to go and see. And it was called Dunkirk. And we weren't going to do it because we were really busy. And Mike said, you know what? It was my birthday yesterday. Let's just see if there's any openings.
If any tickets.
So we walked up, we went in, and we saw Dunkirk.
And that is our time off.
Go ahead.
Dunkirk.
Sir.
I don't know what to say. I am speechless about it. It's an experience that I have never had before in a motion picture theater. There are movies about Vietnam. There are movies about the Second World War galore. There are all kinds of these things, but this was unique, different, odd, and so fundamentally disturbing, wasn't it? Wouldn't you say that?
It was. My mother's a World War II survivor because she lived in London during the war. So Dunkirk touches her very closely.
Yeah.
And it's basically about the war. And there's not, if you go in thinking it's going to be sort of like a love story and there's
Hollywood
this and there.
Version
and
of
it's
a,
not.
No.
It does follow lives during it, during that 9 days of 300,000 people stranded on the beach at Dunkirk. And getting them out. 65,000 people died or were taken captured.
Yes.
And the others, thank God, through so many people that got together.
Yeah.
Remember the people that own boats, the pleasure boat people?
Right.
Who came?
I know.
So that's what we're going to talk about is go see it. It is gut-wrenching and it brings your spirit. You want to cry because you see how people pull together and how amazing and how brave these young men and women were.
So young.
18. So brave. Go see it.
Go see it. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Fun facts.
Ah.
Oh, God, I've been waiting.
All right.
I have been waiting for this.
He's been telling everybody this all week.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh,
probably,
gosh.
You know, half of
everybody
our audience
knows.
Already knows because Mike's been blabbing away. I talked to our friend who the interviews with Rick Huffman, and I told him we were on a walk after our interview. And I told him the fun fact, and he was absolutely surprised. Here it is. Is that enough of a buildup?
It is.
Okay, thank you. All right. The average-sized cumulus cloud weighs, wait for it, 1.1 million pounds.
Wow.
Yes, that's the weight. That's the weight of 100 elephants in water above your head.
That is crazy.
1.1 million pounds. I should have done that in kilograms too, but I didn't.
You can do the math, folks. Crazy.
Oh my gosh.
So heavy.
It's astonishing. Did you have any idea that okay, there's a cloud. 1.1 million pounds. Okay.
Gosh,
cool.
This world is amazing, isn't
it? It is an amazing.
That's
thing.
A fun one. That's a good one.
It is a very good fun fact.
So now we're going to talk to some wonderful friends of ours, Rick and Kayleen Huffman. And they really do talk about what we want to talk about here, which is perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a personal story about their own business. And truly, perseverance is persistent in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Welcome, Rick and Kayleen. Great friends.
Oh, there you go.
So excited to have you here. And so tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves and your career.
Well, I'll start. Grew up in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Yay!
And yay, that's where we met and many years ago. And a family of seven, five children. So four boys and one daughter my parents had, sister for me. And it was great times, great times. Mother was in nursing. Dad was a telephone guy. And we just were a typical family.
Guy.
Telephone guy. Edmonton
cool.
Telephones, Bell Telephone, and Second World War is when he learned his trade.
Wow.
But all that, middle child in the group, so gave me a lot of my traits of who I am and how I act.
A lot of great things about being in the middle.
It is, yeah.
I'm a middle child.
Yeah.
I knew we had something in common.
Yeah, you too,
So how did you sort of start? I know you started with the brick.
I started with the brick. I was actually in the clothing business.
The brick being, for those of you who were listening in Canada, you'll know the brick. It's a very famous home furnishings, electronics, appliance stores all across the country. But you were there at the very beginning, of course. And for those in America, well, it's just kind of like Sears, only better.
There you go. That's right. And it was at the infant stage. Uh-huh. I was recruited from the clothing business. I was working at a menswear store. Bill Comrie, the founder, had recruited me in 1974. Went through that career till we moved to the United States. And that's where Kayleen came into play. So
tell us about yourself.
Yeah, Kayleen. Tell us. Thank you. Well, I'm born and raised in California.
Yay.
Grew up in Northern California.
Yeah.
Both my parents worked for the state, so we were in Sacramento, where we just visited last weekend. And went to high school, college. During college, I started work at a waterbed store.
What did you take in college? Just for
business classes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yep. She's got a great business.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
Can we share your business mind, please?
Your mind for numbers.
It's, we need help.
It just is there.
It's, okay, it's good.
God-given and sometimes irritating to those around me. But my black is black and my white is white and my numbers reflect it. So went into business because the only class in high school that ever interested me was bookkeeping. So that's where I thought I was going to be an accountant. So went to work at the end of furniture retail, went from the waterbed store to Cousins Warehouse in Rancho Cordova. And that's where all y'all come into play and
yes,
into my
do.
Life. And I started there in 1983. And
wow.
The rest is furniture history.
Exactly. Because we came in 1984.
Right.
Yeah.
And we came down to from the brick in Canada to take over Cousins, which eventually was Furnishings 2000.
Correct.
Right. So that's how we all kind of came together.
That's pretty exciting time for us because we had never been to California for any more than a week. And so I remember being on the beach the first night that we got here, and you looking out at the water, standing beside this restaurant, with, and you said, can you believe where we are? Can you believe what has happened here? And here, after all these years, we still remain, which is quite an achievement, I think.
There were a handful of people that came down, and it really, I think we'll be close for the rest of our lives.
Right. Absolutely.
Because of what we went through. We were scared coming from Canada to the United States. That was a big deal. And there's a lot of differences between.
There
even,
are.
Even at the beginning, a sense of humor, a bunch of different stuff, and just the way you say words and all that, we had to adapt.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there are times when it's really fun to watch the Canadian come out and rick.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Still got my
hockey. You can't bottle that stuff up.
It was a huge undertaking.
Well,
yes.
One thing that through all the 65 episodes of Wrinkled Not Dead, we've always said is that we've been working together our entire lives. Our careers are intertwined and have been so since the day we met. That for you is pretty much the same. So the question that people ask us is a question we'd like to ask you is, how is it working together? Is it a challenge to be together all the time like you really are?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the goods and the positives and the negatives of that?
Married and working together.
Yeah,
tell us
and
about
working
it.
Together.
Well, I think it, here again, going back to the furniture days at Furnishings 2000, that's really when we started working together and just knew our different talents. I think the key is that we are a unit, as you guys are a unit.
Absolutely.
But you have individual talents. And they're very different. So we learned right away when we started our business in 1993, which was 27 years ago, we found that one of the most important things is boundaries. We had to set aside what each other was in charge of. And a very interesting thing we had to come across, who was the boss, when it came to work time. So that was established to be me.
That was easy for me.
Yeah, and really it's just for the simple fact of not dismissing anybody's opinion, but working on a common ground to get a direction. And if you don't have direction, nothing's going to work. And that there was other people that were affected by our decisions.
Absolutely, and playing off each other. My weakness is his strength. That's how we're a team, and we've always dealt with all of our business dealings as a team unit. I remember there was a time when Rick was traveling more than he does now, and I thought, well, gee, where's my best friend? I'm missing a piece of me, even just sitting at my desk doing my day-to-day business, because you know, oftentimes during the day we will interact. We work in separate offices, and we interact over the telephone. And if a day's gone by and that phone call hasn't come, I'm like, well, gee, I'm missing something today. Where did my best friend go? Where did my partner go? Where did my the president of the company go?
Your soulmate.
Absolutely.
Because you just had an anniversary.
We did. We
and
just
what
celebrated
is this
28 years.
Wow. And we were at your wedding,
yes,
too.
Yes, you were.
In Coronado, and
yep.
That was the most beautiful wedding. My question to you is, how do you shut it off at night? That's what people ask.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably our biggest challenge, is shutting it off at night.
Not mine. I can get in flip-flops and board shorts real quick.
Which pretty much you are right now.
I guess the rule is, when I walk through the door, that's when she's got to shut it down.
That's when I
because
shut it down.
She works out of the home. So now she does.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why I told her, I can't do that. I need a start and a finish to my work day.
Oh.
And by doing that, whatever that looks like, so my office is off-site for that reason. Kayleen has the ability to turn it on, turn it off, get back into it. But nighttime, no work. And that's good. That's our social time.
That's right.
Terrific.
So we didn't tell our listeners, you own Bassett Stores, Bassett
Correct.
Furniture Stores.
Yes.
And they're sort of high-end stores, beautiful furniture, excellent.
Yeah, well-made.
And you said you opened your first Bassett store when?
Well, we did business with Bassett. We opened Economy Furniture with our partner at Fishoff in 1993.
So that started first.
That started
okay.
first. So it was a vendor at that time. But as the furniture industry has gone, it turned into very different. Uh-huh. Imports played a big part of it. So the
when
vendors had to
started coming from China? Is that what you're referring
exactly,
to?
Exactly.
From overseas?
Late 80s, yeah. Down here. Canada were doing it quite frequently back in the 70s even.
Really?
So it was kind of it was different, as you said, coming down here, what trends were happening. So 1995 is when the first Bassett store opened in actually Florida, and then was morphed into a different concept in probably about 1997 in Austin, Texas.
Uh-huh.
So in 1999, we became the first Bassett store in California.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
And mm-hmm. and the term is single source store.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and
yeah. Okay.
So that's really what it became. And it was a great partnership with us. We had a piece of property that we had our eye on for many years, and we're blessed to be able to purchase that property, build a building, and we dedicated it to Bassett in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
So opened in November 1999 and went through many things over this period, but success from the beginning. It was quite exciting.
Well, that's the question, really. So many brick and mortar stores you hear about now in the news not doing so well, and yet you guys have managed to thrive since 1999. I mean, there are people out there like listening right now going, so what's the secret?
Yeah, what's your secret sauce?
Well, you know, adversity hit us all.
Yes.
2008.
Yeah, so
bam.
there was, and our industry was totally, has to relate to the real estate market.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know what happened. So okay. with those mortgages and the defaults, and we opened a store in Chula Vista in 2006, at the epicenter of the foreclosures in San Diego County, which was Chula Vista.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, everything was going quite well in 2005. Every store we had opened. So at that point, we had seven stores.
Seven stores.
God.
Through that time, we were able to maintain it for about a year and a half. And then we got hit hard just like everybody else.
Yeah.
So the term we used was right size. We had to right size. A lot of encouragement from each other. We had to restructure our debt that we did have. We didn't have a lot of debt. It was really with our vendors. Some of them didn't make it. Furniture brands closed. Lane stores.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Kayleen can kind of remember back then what that took.
Absolutely.
Back to your side of
the black and white numbers.
I'm hearing determination in here, and it's being the title of the show this time. Here it comes, folks.
Here it comes.
Yeah, so what did you do?
Well, you know, we just had to batten the hatches mm-hmm. and ride the storm. And I think through those difficult lean times, what got us on the other side was really our commitment to our concept, which thrived. We are very much relationship selling. And so back to, I'm going to jump back over to your question about why I think our stores are our brick and mortar is so necessary in our current environment is because of the way we sell, because of the experience in our store. We had a meeting yesterday with our merchant services account manager who was a customer, and he said, the experience I had in your store cannot be duplicated outside of your four walls. I can't go to a computer and choose what I want or look at what I want and have that same relationship, that same help, that same assistance from a knowledgeable design coordinator. I can't have that online. And we had another, we were on a trip and we were describing our stores and describing our concept. And we had a gentleman who say, well, your brick and mortar can't be Amazoned.
True.
And we went, wow, look at that use of Amazon. What an interesting idea. Let's see if Webster, what Webster wants to do with that word.
Yeah, no
but
kidding.
But the reality is the relationship, the experience inside the four walls is why we are thriving, I believe.
Yeah. The pain and suffering was really, when I say right-sizing, that's a real quick term to say you had to line up your merchandising, okay? Mm-hmm. So being in a partnership with a company that actually manufactures, we had to look at manufacturing, how we were going to be different. So customization came into play, huge. We're already doing it, but we weren't playing that as our theme.
As our strength.
Okay, so our anthem became customized furniture in within 30 days. Mm-hmm. So we've carried that not only in upholstery, but we've done it in case goods by opening factories here in America that are using domestic raw materials, and we're also using our talents to give different options for our customers. And the customers are really gravitating to that. And as Kayleen's saying, the whole thing is that we also had to figure out what our service levels. We could have just wiped out mid-management, design coordinators, pay structures that really became hourly type employees, which we all started there, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we wanted incentives and encouragement. Training programs came into effect. How far are we going to take this? So with a lot of grit and a lot of grind, and a credit to our parent company, Bassett, Rob Spillman, our CEO, had really looked us all in the eye and said, this is what we're going to do. And the ones that are going to survive are going to survive. So, you know, it's amazing how that foundation, once we had set that and once we made that commitment, all of us across the nation, whoever licensees were or even the corporate stores for Bassett, we solidified it, and that's what we're reaping the benefits today.
Right.
So going forward, we're very comfortable and see that the consumer, that's what they want. They want a service level that has disappeared, which is very sad. A lot of department stores are going, the products they're selling, what is relevant to the consumer, what can they, you know, buying online, we offer buying online. It's not a big percentage. Will we grow that? Yes. You know, accessories, areas like that, direct to your home, all that kind of stuff is going to be, but that's not our mainstay. Mm-hmm. So, and here again, right-sizing the square footage of the store.
Yeah.
Right-sizing.
Probably, and probably just recently, the last 2 years, is marketing. You know, really the biggest difference is digital marketing is incredible. So Google has taken over our mindset, our habits. And in a marketing standpoint, the great news is it's a very pointed and looking and communicating to our consumer.
Mm-hmm. Are you implying some use of social media? Because that was a question that we wanted to ask you about, because that was certainly one of the fundamental changes in the last decade or less.
Correct. And yes, the social media is important to communicate, but it's not the most important thing to develop your business plan. Your business plan still needs to say, this is what we're offering, this is the products we have, these are the services we offer. And the social conversation back and forth really makes a difference as far as what we all see that we need to do.
So dogs are a part of our lives.
Our lives.
So we just have become a larger part of our lives.
And Brandy's making a guest appearance.
Speaking of Wes,
that's the personal aspect of our business. We're dog friendly in our stores.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, are you?
Yes. Yes, we are.
But I agree with you. It's a touching feeling. I also need to have a... I want to talk to people. Mm-hmm. I want people to tell me how good this is going to look. Mm-hmm. I still like that one-on-one with humans. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you touched on recently, it's kind of disappeared.
Right. Yeah.
And so that is what I think you were saying. When mm-hmm. people come into your store, they feel special.
Right.
And they have design people to help them figure right. out mm-hmm. how to make their home look beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I got to ask you this, Jen. Last episode was called Fear of Failure. I don't detect a whiff of that in this room.
Were you guys afraid ever?
Oh, afraid? I would say we just had to buckle down. Were we fearful? I will say no. And the reason being is, quite frankly, our faith that says fear not.
Yeah.
By
the grace of God and by sticking together and working towards a common goal and not... being like-minded, knowing that the only way we were going to get through is to continue to work hard, push hard, and actually work in growing our business when there was no business to grow. And we did that by re-educating our people and, like Rick said, re-merchandising and focusing on whatever we could do during those lean times rather than what we couldn't do. And I think that's what helped us get through.
Yeah.
And things are getting better. Do you find the economy is getting better?
Yeah, the economy, I don't know if better is the word. And that's always interesting word to me as far as economy. So 43 years in this industry, I've seen good times, bad times, whatever. Like I say, we go back to the housing is great right now. People are good. But here again, everybody talks about the bubble. What's it going to be? What's it going to look like? So I think it's cautionly keep doing what you do. It doesn't mean you can let up. So is the economy phenomenal? And in some areas, no, because mm-hmm. we see, as Mike has pointed out, brick and mortar is closing stuff. So there's a readjustment in what economy looks like. Our industry still challenges with there's $26 billion in imports that come into us, and we export $2 billion. Okay? The only country in the world that is even close to being in a balance is Canada. And Canada ships more to us than we ship to them, and that balance.
Interesting.
So it's not which is not a horrible thing. It's not a horrible thing to say we're globalized. We just got to make sure it's fair, and we're doing business with people who have the same values as we do as Americans. And that's the one that I think we've done a good job in 73% of our product is domestic. Wow. But the other 27% is definitely needed. Mexico, Vietnam are two of our biggest ones, but very specific products that we need. And some of it is value-driven, but a lot of it is just the way it's made is a good product.
And I got to tell you, everyone that works for Bassett with you guys think that you're amazing. Mike has an incredible story he wanted to share with
you. You're prescient.
Our
I was about to toss mm-hmm. this in. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many episodes ago I went to your executive office and interviewed Laura Cross, who's been a long-time employee of yours. Mm-hmm. And I did a segment with Laura called Real People with Real Jobs. Uh-huh. And she told me a little bit about her story and her past and her present and how much she has appreciation for you both in what you've done for her family mm-hmm. to help her to help you. I mean, the loyalty factor driven by what you have done for her as a mother of four, mm-hmm. and the flexibility that you've brought to her job is a treasure to that person. And for that reason, will never be forgotten.
Never. Right?
So, you know, it almost makes... I know when I did the interview with Laura, they were mm-hmm. We were a little mm-hmm. blub at the end. but she's a wonderful person, but very she's good. Been helped by wonderful people. Sure. And you've made a tremendous difference in their lives and her family.
Without our employees, we're nothing.
Yeah.
And so that's a value that that we
part
share.
Of what I was saying earlier, when you right size a company, you have to decide who your team is. We run it very much, and we empower people to have not only an opinion, but also what our expectations are, so to communicate. So our next generation, which is our son, who's our CEO, also does that as well. So Matt, he's the millennial that has his marketing degree, but he really is he's captain of the football team. So he's got the personality.
He does.
He has three sisters. So he understands, because the majority of our staff is women, because we're in the design business. So Matt has been able to adapt to understand that, but also expectations. And I think people know where they stand with us. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a good feeling. The gender that we do have in our company is really appreciative of understanding that. But it's also the guys that work for us that do the service end of it is the same thing. So we have repair guys that have been with us for 20 years. Mm-hmm. We have people that are in our customer service that have been with us for 15 years. And we do believe in customer service departments, mm-hmm. that, yes, we can communicate you through email. We can get you information, Snapchat. I mean, whatever you want to do, whatever is comfortable for our customer. Going back to the social media, we want to know what they're comfortable with. As Jen has said, we don't want to be invasive to kind of know and bug you. We just want to be able to service your needs.
Mm-hmm.
There is a special sauce, but I think you guys have intention too, because my story, Mike and I were talking, when we first moved down here, we went to a friend's party, and I won't say who she is, to her house. And Rick and Mike and I, the original, it was MJ and a bunch of other people, went to this beautiful house, and I looked at Rick, and I said, Rick, this house is so beautiful. Do you think they're working for the company that we're coming in to sort of take over. Will we ever be able to have something this beautiful? And you looked right at me and you said, you bet we are going to have this. And I've never forgotten that. It gives me chills. You had the intention from the beginning, and we are in your beautiful home here in California. And man, you took it all the way through to the end.
Well, I think it goes back to our humble beginnings.
Yes, they were
humble.
Because
even if we go back to the Mighty Brick, it was 1974, were lean times for Bill and his family and his brothers, and we all did. And those were, precious time. I call it exposure. I was exposed to a lot of things, and I'm very thankful for them to give me that opportunity. But once you have that humble beginning, to set your stabilize, and we saw that what we've done, we've gone through this, and also, really, it's we were content in all situations. You mm-hmm. know, there was a lot mm-hmm. of tough times
Good
that we
point.
Had to get punched in the nose once in a while. We get scars and bruises, and
yeah,
all
we
all
all
that
do.
Kind of stuff. But
you're wrinkled, not dead.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You're living the dream here, babies.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
So this is,
we always ask.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years, Rick?
Mexico on a beach. No.
Yes. Sign me up.
Yeah. No. Realistically, I'm 61 now. A career that's I enjoy what I do. I continue to enjoy what I do, but I'm doing less of it. And it was hard for me to get there as a workaholic, not a control freak. I just want to be a part of the team. So being a part of that, and handing the baton on to Matt, he's done a great job, and he's actually doing a better job in different things. And how much energy can I put into all this stuff that is happening, because change is happening rapidly. Okay, and then it's defining. I'm the old guy in the corner just saying, well, just wait a sec. If we do all this, cause and effect. Let's talk about cause and effect for a while. So as I kind of ride off into the sunset, I don't think it's smart to put a time limit on. We have another store that we're excited about to open in La Jolla area. I haven't totally signed on the dotted line, but it's very, very close, and we're excited about it. But Matt has taken the initiative to actually build a team to go to that store to be ready. And once that happens, then we'll see the continued success. So 5 years from now, could still be doing a bunch of stuff with the business, but it could be less. So that's for me.
And when you love what you but when you love what you do, you can't do it.
It's hard just to walk away. Right now.
She has just 13. Down the street.
She has 13 years.
Rick has decided that because I am 54, that I need to work as long as when he decides he's going to slow down. And we're still not sure how that's going to look. No. But what I do for the company, I can skinny down. So when he's ready, I will probably still continue to be a back burner part of the company, and guiding Matt through the financial side. That's my side of the company. The day-to-day I haven't touched in years, quite frankly. I do all the finances and policies and procedures and work in the human resources. But as far as the operations of the day-to-day, that's what Rick and Matt do. So 5 years from now, I would definitely like to be, we love to travel. It'd be, you know, throw a few more trips in there. But we're not going to do anything that will create instability. So we will make sure that whatever we're doing, we're properly prepared, not only from a family standpoint. We've got 6 grandkids. And, of course, the children that birthed those kids.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We've got family still in Canada. We've got family up in Northern California. So it's stopping and slowing down just a little bit, because Rick will tell you I can still wind up pretty tight and pretty high. And so just to be able to take a breath, I think that's going to be my first baby step towards what 5 years looks like, is finding my balance.
Well, what I can see from this, the secret ingredient for success was being together.
Oh, that's the truth. That's absolutely. And when we got married, we were told that the only way to have a true union is for it to be a triangle, mm-hmm. and with God at the tip. And truly, that has been the lifeline of our relationship.
Thank you both for doing this today. I can't tell you how great ambassadors you are about the whole concept of determination. It's been a pleasure, and we love you both so much. This will make it so easy. And also, thank you to Brandy for joining us.
Yes.
You will not be forgotten, because there will be this unusual sound in the middle of this interview. Thank you both.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You. Thank you, you for having us.
All right. Love you guys.
Okay. I mean, they may as well be doing this podcast. I mean,
they're amazing.
they're so gifted at speaking, for one thing.
Successful business people that through thick and thin made it happen together.
I know.
As a married couple.
Yep.
A lot of faith.
Yep.
They're big family people.
Yes,
they're
they are.
Very, very loyal to their employees.
They're
treat them like family.
And generous.
And that is good old-fashioned business, and that is why they are in business.
Yes, indeed. I know.
Thank you, guys.
I love them.
Oh, amazing.
Them. Yeah, yeah. They just want everybody in the world to be happy.
They do.
That's such a bad thing.
No, and they work hard. Whew.
I'm going to hijack or at least start
my
off.
Health minute.
Your health minute.
Okay,
I made the tomato soup. All right?
Mm-hmm.
It was good, right? But the benefits of tomatoes. Now, this is a health
tell us a wise one.
Oh, okay. A wise one, indeed. Tomatoes contain so many great things, but they have alpha and beta carotene. They have lutein and lycopene. And they are, I mean, just what I'm saying, if you don't know those terms, it's just full of antioxidants. Amazingly high in that. So that's a great start, huh?
Yeah, and I'll do the next two, because tomatoes are, they say, can help reduce the risk of prostate cancer and pancreatic cancer, two really bad ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So but you mix them with, this is going to come up more than once in this little bit. Tomatoes, you mix it with broccoli, they have kind of a synergy, and it really helps for those kind of things. A diet rich in tomato-based products may also help in the risk of pancreatic cancer, according to the University of Montreal. Isn't that interesting?
And tomatoes contain all three high-powered antioxidants.
So we kind of covered that thing, and I don't want to go
it's
through
amazing.
The whole litany of these things, but boy, loads of vitamin C as well, huh?
And you know what else? They're rich in potassium, a mineral that most of us don't get enough of. A cup of tomato juice contains 534 milligrams of potassium, and one half cup of tomato sauce has 454 milligrams. And I know that if you don't get enough potassium, you get foot cramps.
Yeah, you always say that. Yep. And that's why you head for bananas.
Mm-hmm.
But now have a tomato in the morning.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, my morning tomato. How nice. Okay. When tomatoes, here it is, the combination again. This is going to come up yet again after this. So hang in there. Tomatoes are eaten along with healthier fats like avocado and olive oil. The body's absorption of all these wonderful things is increased by 2 to 15 times.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that this is fantastic.
Well, I know that tomatoes are a big part of that Mediterranean diet that I've tried. I've tried all the diets.
Yeah, well, what did you think of it?
It was very good because I love tomatoes. If you don't like tomatoes, look out. But
yeah.
Well, I know Kayleen doesn't like tomatoes.
No, yeah, she's allergic to tomatoes.
The lady you just listened to, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. But they're really, really good in heart disease and, like I said before, with cancer. They're just a miracle fruit.
Okay,
well. Because you know tomatoes are fruit.
Yes. Actually, thank you for reminding
yes.
me of that. Gosh, you're a clever duck, aren't you today?
Thank you.
Okay, all right. Okay, so I hit the last point, but it should be a lady's point. But nonetheless, everyone out there should know that when breastfeeding, moms should eat tomato products. It really helps with that lycopene again, and it produces it in the breast milk, which helps the baby out. And don't peel them, because a lot of the good stuff, like so many fruits and vegetables, are in the peel.
Yeah.
So don't peel them if you can help it. So back to my soup. All I had was this pulp. You should have seen how much. I mean, this blob of pulp that came through after the juicer, you know. So all it was pure tomato. But somehow, somewhere, someone's going, compost that stuff. So there's your health minute. And I hope you guys enjoyed it, because tomatoes are in like high season right now. It's going into August. And wow, just get out there and do it. They're fun.
You know, it's all about tomatoes, and I have a remember when, but you know what I want to say first? Remember when?
Yeah.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
We saw Lisa Comrie Gibson today.
Yes.
She works for the guy. She's a loyal listener, and thank you for, you know,
hi,
Lisa.
Lisa
said, yeah, hi, Lisa. I mean, we can say hello to an individual. It doesn't matter. But she complimented us. We were at a child's birthday party today, and said, you know, your show is honest, and then world needs more honesty. And I thought, oh my God, that touched my heart.
Yeah, she works for Loma Media.
Yeah, Loma.
Which,
John DiBello, uh-huh. the founder of Loma Media, produced the cult classic Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
We loved it. Go check it out.
Go check it out. It's
kind of like
available.
The Blob, but with tomatoes. It's good.
It's so ridiculous. It's fantastic.
It is fantastic. It is.
And he did so well with that.
He did. He
launched
really
his
made
career.
An, yep,
he
yep.
launched his
it was
career.
Wonderful. So anyways,
okay, all right,
I digress.
All right.
But I don't
no,
digress.
No,
because you know what? It was fabulous. That was my remember when. But I also had one.
Okay.
The telephone operator. Remember when you could dial 0 and the telephone operator could basically connect you anywhere you wanted.
One ringy dingy.
I know.
Remember the skit on Saturday night?
Yeah, it was really neat. I forgot about the telephone operator. And remember the wake-up call? You could call in and ask them to call you at a certain time and wake you up.
It's so crazy now to even think of this.
I know.
But they would. They would call. You dial a number and the operator would say, okay, well, what time would you like to be awakened? 6:15. And the phone would ring.
Would ring.
Until you picked it up, too.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It was great.
So if you were one of those heavy sleepers, that sucker wasn't going to stop.
And remember the one where you could call and they'd tell you what the time it is?
Yeah, the atomic clock.
Yeah.
And it would go, dunk, dunk,
yeah.
dunk, dunk. And it would, these are great memories.
I
they
have
really
one
are.
Last one.
Okay,
remember
yeah,
as
yeah,
an
yeah.
actor?
Yeah.
I remember you could have an answering machine, which was fantastic. Or if you wanted to look like you were someone important, you had an answering service.
Yeah.
So you'd pay $20 or $30
a
month.
No, it was expensive back then.
It was a lot back then. And there would be a physical someone picking up the phone and saying,
hello, Jennifer Austin's telephone or her office or whatever.
Austin
at the time.
Yeah, it was Jennifer Austin's answering service.
Yeah.
How may I help you?
Oh,
it was really wonderful. And it's just, I don't know, those human touches I really miss. I know I sound really ancient and old, but I do. I miss the human
Everybody
element.
Likes a remember when. Come on,
I know,
everybody. I don't care
I
if you're only 40 years old. You can have a remember when.
Yeah, I got to ask some of our younger listeners.
What they have.
What they have.
Oh, God. Uh-huh. Oh, no, I don't know.
Oh, I know one.
What?
Lauren told me.
What?
Nordstrom, which is a high-end clothing store here in California.
Yeah.
They used to have a piano player when you would come in and he or she would be playing piano on the bottom floor.
Under
the stairs, but it would go all the way up to where the escalators were. So you could hear it throughout the entire place. And I'm sure they mic'd them as well. And that human touch was so wonderful. And I remember she was saying, I miss, so see, she's very young.
Yeah.
I miss the piano player at Nordstrom.
You, that stuff is going to be
touch.
Back. That stuff is going to be back.
Human touch.
Because, you know, do we have a minute about that? No, sure. Malls are having a big problem right now. They're saying that, like, by 2023, about 50% of the malls in America, of which there are like 1,200, are going to be closed. But the only reason, and the ones that are going to survive are like Mall of America right now, celebrating their 25th anniversary. They have so much entertainment value there. And the piano player is just one tiny element of that. And that stuff is going to come back, folks. So there's going to be a whole industry out there for street performers and people who are creative and people who know the entertainment industry and being able to do it personally with folks in a mall. It's going to be big. It's going to be huge. And it's going to be American great. That's what it's going to happen.
Until the robots take over.
But oh, dear.
That's a whole other podcast.
Maybe next week.
All right. Let's wrap her up.
Okay. I have a quote for you. And I really actually appreciate this guy. He's a very smart guy. He's had an up-and-down career, and he's kind of an oddball at times. Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich is used to be the former Speaker of the House. He's a politician. Perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work you already did.
Oh, my gosh, is that true?
That's pretty smart. He speaks well.
Just keep on going. And that's what we're trying to tell everybody. If you're reinventing yourself like we are, just hang in there. Look at Rick and Kayleen Huffman.
What they've done.
What they did.
Yeah.
And they built an empire. And they are living the dream and the life.
I know. I admire them so much.
I do too. And you guys can do it too. And like Ruth Gordon said, outlast them all. Thanks for listening. And remember, we weren't born yesterday.